HXVIK.
Yes.
Havoc.
Yes, sir. Havoc.
Yes. In the building, the one and only.
What are we supposed to get from this? Are you wrecking havoc on the mic, on stage?
You caught it right there. Originally, like when I first, can I just go into the story of how I started with the music stuff?
The floor is yours.
All right. So at the age of 3, I got into listening into music. And the only person, believe it or not, that I would listen to up from the age of 3 all the way to the age of 11 was Michael Jackson himself. You feel me?
Okay.
And with that, like from the age of 3 all the way up until 11, like while I was in elementary school, which was a little bit before I was 11, I my third, fourth, and fifth grade year, my last 3 years of elementary, I would do talent shows. You feel me? And it's like, it took me a lot to build up the courage to do it, you know, because it's like I would be performing in front of like 500, 600 students, you know? And it's like, it was a really good feeling. But like up until then, like the moment up until I performed, it was a lot, bro. Like, you know, I felt the anxiety in my stomach and it's like, oh shit, I'm about to do this. And it's like, I don't know, like ever since I was young, I was an entertainer, you know? And it was kind of a take for me because like growing up, it wasn't the particular childhood that, you know, average child would have. We'll get into that later. But as far as like that, like, that's all I would do too. I would just dance. I wasn't even into the rapping, the melodic rap, the other things that go into it. Like I would dance a lot and then that would help me. I learned rhythm, you know? So it's like, I can literally pinpoint any song as long as it's not too crazy. But even if it is too crazy, I'll find a way to either move. What I really learned how to move with is the percussion inside of an instrumental, you know, like the, you know, like it's, that's what I really learned, like movement, bodily function. And then from there, like,
okay, we back.
All right, yeah.
And this meeting is being recorded.
And then from there, like after that, I went on into middle school and it's like, I would like ask people around, like, hey, y'all, you listen to Michael Jackson? Like they'll be playing like, you know, what was like popping back then with like a lot of the people in the surrounding area, which was hip hop, you know? Hip hop, like rap, you know. Yeah. I never listened to rap. The only person that I listened to in elementary, it was Tupac. And that was because the person that I was living with, he became a Tupac fan at that age and he would play it. And then I wouldn't really have a choice to hear it, you know? So just like I was introduced to the old school rap, you know, the NWA, the Tupac and, you know, Slim Shady, AKA Eminem. Like I listened to him and he was the one that like really, really like a lot of the stuff, you know how he was like back in the 90s, like without a filter. And at the same time, he could be serious and emotional. It's just, he was very versatile in like what he did. And then from there, it moved on from Eminem to Hobson. I don't know if you know who that is. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's a artist from Panarasti. And he's really known for his Ill Minds, the 1 through 8, you know, I'm pretty sure you've seen at least one of them. But those were cool. But like, I started to dig deep more into the different types of flows that he would have. Like some of my favorite songs by him in middle school was I Just Can't. Crown Me was a big one because that's like, I would like, believe it or not, like, it's weird because when I say this, I didn't really want anybody to find out. But eventually people will find out once it happens. But like, what I would do, I would study every single lyric that he had down to the T, especially the songs where he were rapping so fast, the average human ear can't keep up. They would have to play it over and over and over to get it. So like what I would do, like with artists that, you know, I like, I would copy them, you know, and just be like, yeah, 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 that's mine. You feel me? Yeah, I made that, you know. But eventually, like, you know, people caught on, and then I'm thinking like, you know, after a while, like, I started to listen to more artists after Hobson. I listened to Logic. He was a really good one. And then you had Joyner Lucas. He was a really good one. You feel me? And then that's when I came across XXXTentacion. Like, he, like, as far as them, they were more, they amazed me with the lyricism and how, like, how fast they put all types of flows and how they would switch and stuff. And then, like, with X, it was different. I don't know, like, the first song I know I heard by him was Take a Step Back. I think I was in my ninth grade algebra class, and, like, they would let us use Chromebooks and stuff and, like, listen to music and stuff. So I'm like, you know what? And SoundCloud was my shit back then because, you know, it was really popping. You feel me? Like, that was, yeah, it was around 2017, the end, like, you know how school years start, like, usually the end of the school year is the beginning of the year, you guys know what I'm saying? So the end of 2017 going on to 2018 is like when I would really like listen. And yeah, Take a Step Back, I heard that. Then I heard H2O, Young Brats, you know, all of that shit. It was just fire. And then, like, that's when he dropped the 17 album, and that, like, it was enough to, like, really, like, you know, like, damn, like, you know, it's that raw emotion that you felt, like, inside of his voice, like, with his music. So that kind of opened up another door for me when it came to, like, you know, being somebody that's, like, going into high school, you know, feeling out of place, you know, just ending relationship. Although I was young and it really, like, it really is nothing now. Back then, it really meant something to me who I was with, because it was all I knew, you know. And yeah, like, that really, he really helped me get through a breakup that I had, you know, and just, like, just being down and out, you know. And Ski Mask too, I got into a lot of Ski Mask, and it's like, yeah, I'm in it. She gonna stop on my like, you feel me?
No Fetty Wap at that time.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, I would hear him, but the only time that I would be able to listen to music was when I was at school when they had electronics, because who I live with didn't want me to have a phone. So really, I would only hear the music that I wanted to listen to, like, when I was at school or when I was at a place that had electronics and when people wanted to let me use their stuff when I didn't have my own, you know? So I would hear it. I would hear Fetty Wap and stuff. Like, it was cool, you know, but I don't know. Yeah, he was good. He was good. He was popping back then. I ain't gonna lie. Him, Young Thug.
That begs me to ask a question. You know, for school, you know, school provides more than an education.
It
provides food. It provides, you know, enrichment courses, extracurriculars. School was a safe space for you.
In a way, it was. It necessarily wasn't a safe space, but at the same time, it was. It was more of an escape. It was more of an escape with, like, personal problems that I dealt with inside my life, you know. It was like where I hung out with people who I felt like could understand me, and it was like, it was where I could be free without having, like, too many restrictions on myself, because it's like, once I was out the door, out the house, I didn't have a looming shadow over me telling me, like, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. It was more of a me easing into my own freedom, because I didn't really have a lot of it, you know. And, like, yeah, it was actually a huge learning experience. Like, school really affected my life in some of the best ways and in some of the worst ways. Like, with school, I met people that were good for me, you know, and I also met people that were bad for me and, like, were detrimental to, like, a lot of the plans and a lot of the experiences I could have had.
I also have to ask you. you know, you're growing up in LA, right? You're from LA, South Central, South LA area, if I'm not mistaken.
One, I moved from.
Where did you move
from? Go ahead.
Where did you move from?
So I lived around. I literally lived off of like El Segundo and Figueroa. I can't even remember past like when I was about six, but when I was six, I lived in Gardena, and I can't really name the streets, but I can't really name that street, but around it is a Rally's, and then across from the Rally's, it's like a car spot. And then a little bit further down from the Rally's, it's like a Dollar Tree. Ardath in 141st Street. That's where I lived at till I was about nine. Then from then I moved on to Cimarron and El Segundo. And then when I was 11, I moved to El Segundo and Figueroa. And I stayed there all the way up until about 19.
So
I moved from there.
Being all around LA.
All around.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're African-American boy. People looking from the outside in could say being down in that area isn't so safe, isn't so secure. Wouldn't it benefit someone coming from where you are to have the means to communicate to family in an emergency in a, you know, fast pace? Because if you don't have a phone and something happens, how do you get in touch to family? How do you even get in touch with, you know?
Well, the thing about that, that's what I'm saying. That was the logic that I carried. But the person that I live with, like, she had her reasonings for doing everything that she did. And in the end, you know, I'm here now. I'm fine. I'm okay, you know. But, like, at the same time, it's just, you just have to learn how to move smart, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like everybody has that gut feeling when they know they're in a spot that's, like, unsafe, you know, just reading the people around you, reading, feeling the energy, looking at the neighborhood, you know, and just, like, yeah. And, like, just listening when people try to put you on pointers about where you're at and where you're going. It's, like, it's good to be smart, like, at school and stuff like that and, you know, socially with your friends. But at the same time, you really have to watch your surroundings when you are in L.A., no matter if you're in Sardinia, Inglewood, Hawthorne, you know,
gotta
downtown L.A.
Like,
it's just, like, something that I would recommend is, like, to not hang out on corners all day. Don't stay outside on the block all day. You know, if you are going to do that, like, make sure you're in, like, an establishment, like a building or something, or an apartment, or, like, maybe at a restaurant that's, like, you know, low-key and not too, you know. But as long as you don't make enemies and as long as you go wherever you go with pure intentions, nothing should happen to you. Like, you know, it's really the mindset that you go into with life and, like, where you go and how you walk around. It's just the energy that you carry, how you present yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. It's, like, it's so not too much to it.
With everything happening to you and everything you've, you know, been moving and everything, is it a bit safe to say that Havoc has been in your life for more than just being a name?
Yeah, dude, like, at a very young age, I've went through a lot of emotions, you feel me? As far as depression, anxiety, like, you know, separation issues with those that I felt that were very close to me. And it was times where I questioned, like, why am I, you know, like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna bring up a big, like, issue, you know, that's, like, in our society, you know, like, depression, stuff like that, and, you know, suicide and stuff like that. That's crossed my mind. I'm pretty sure that's crossed a lot of people's minds, like, with the situations that they've been in, you know, Like, yeah. It's been times where I've, like, you know, wanted to do that and just, like, wanted to, like, give up with a lot of stuff that I was going through. But, like, as you keep moving forward, you'll see, like, that situation isn't as bad as I thought it could be, you know? Like, because you may be feeling the worst of emotions, but it's really all perspective. It's how you look at it. Like, this is with every single situation that you will experience inside of your life. I'm going to give you some advice right here. You can either let the situation make you or break you, you know? Life, in my opinion, I've told a couple of people this, but it's like a stock chart, you know? It's like you can rise, shoot up really, really high, and then, like, some gets in your way, and then you, like, fall twice as hard and twice as fast as you rose. And the thing about that, you want to rise, right? But you don't want to go too fast. And when I say that, like, you don't want to move so fast to where, like, you have a lot of momentum and you can't slow down when you feel like you need to. It's like living the fast life is glorified, like, within the rap community and stuff like that. But it's like, when you're moving too fast, like, it's hard to, like, really trace your steps. Like, what am I doing? It's hard to think logically when you just act on impulse, because you don't know what that can bring, you know? Let's say I blow up today, I see a baddie, and it's like, we do our thing, and then, like, you know, something happens with that, you know? And, yeah, it's just a lot of stuff. But, like, back to what I was saying, life is like a stock chart. You don't want to shoot up too fast. You want to, like, go to a level, but then you want to keep moving at a steady pace. But you also want to rise while you're moving, you know? That's a part of the keep grinding, you know? And then with that, like, once you get comfortable with that level, that's when you decide, you plan as you're getting comfortable with the level you're at, what next level you're going to be at, you know, and how you're going to do it, how you're going to achieve it. And with that, there will be stuff that gets in your way, but don't think of life stock chart as a two-dimensional thing to where if something gets in the way, I'm automatically blocked. It's multiple ways, multiple dimensions to this stuff. Like, you can keep moving. It's in your way. As you're going up, you can either move to the left or to the right, you know? So it's like you want to maneuver side by side, but up and down as well. Because it's stuff that are getting your way, you know, try and drag you down. And it's like that happens. We all have mishaps. We all have setbacks. And it's like your good energy in life, people are going to test that. But you gotta protect your energy, and you can't let them trespass. You catch what I'm saying? You saw, I'll put a little bit of rhyming in there. But yeah, it's just...
I say that with perspective, I think perspective is only as important as the experiences that you have, the amount of experiences that you have. Because if you're saying, you know, dealing with depression and suicidal thoughts at age 11...
Oh, it was before that, bro. It was before that.
And that's what I'm saying. If it's, you know, if you want to be specific with the age, 8, 7, 9 years old, it's not as much life experiences as a 21-year-old going through that and feeling those things. So when you're going through those things at such a young age, the perspective isn't, well, I can either let this break me or let this make me. Yeah. This is new territory. Territory not for no type of kids to ever experience. So how are you as a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old going through those things? What is holding you down? Is it performing? Is it dancing? Is it music?
It's music, and not just the music, but it was me trying to find the littlest amount of happiness within my day and amplifying it tenfold. You know, like, a lot of kids, they hate school. It's like, I hate school. I don't want to do this. And it's like, at times I've excelled, you know, I've always excelled in the academic part, but that's not the reason why I enjoyed it. You know, it was the communication and the relationships that I had with my other peers and students, you know? And it's not just with the students, it's older people that have helped me, like, shape me into the person that I am today in my schooling. So it's like, it's not just there for like academics and stuff like that. Like, it's literally a whole space designed for youth that are young to be guided into the next steps. You know, it's literally structured, but it's not like the middle school, the elementary school that I went to, like, it was structured, but at the same time, like, you got to be a kid. I feel like everybody needs to, like, have that place to where they feel free as a kid and actually can ask questions about, like, what's this, what's that, without being told, why are you asking so many questions? Why do you want to know? Sit down and be quiet, you know? You should, like, be able to ask and be enlightened about the wonders of the world, you know?
And curiosity should be accepted. Curiosity should be amplified. And you know, supported. And, versus,
you know what a wise man once told me? His name was Mr. Quentin. I haven't seen him since I culminated from elementary, but one day I really hope I see him. If you're out there, we got a link, Mr. Quentin. But he was like the main person within my elementary years that saw me go from like the complete bottom to one of the best students in the school. Because like when I first went in the specific school that I went to, it Perchy Avenue Elementary School. When I first went there, bro, like, I was literally the worst, one of the worst kids there, bro. Like, God bless her soul, but my first grade teacher, her name was Miss Turnbull, and she was, like, a very old or very elderly, frail lady, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just bad, bro. Like, she would have snacks in her drawer and stuff, like, I like, you know, take them without asking. I bring toys to class and then she have to take them from me. Then I like, you know, trip out about it. And it's just, I had a lot of issues and it really wasn't a lot of structure. And I didn't really want to listen to the people that were in authority because it's like, I don't care. And that's what it is. But like, as I got older, my perspective kind of changed. You know, because of who I was living with at home and stuff like that. Sometimes people do need that firm amount of structure to like shape them into who they are. Like, really, I get it when people mean that, like, well, life with me or with every individual, you'll feel a lot of, you'll be under the fire, you'll feel a lot of heat and you'll feel a lot of pressure, but really that's where the diamond is made. You catch what I'm saying? Because that's how diamonds are made. They're under a lot of pressure for a long time, then something is beautiful that comes out of it, you know? Like, for example, in a song that I have called Keep Grinding, I'm gonna recite like a few lyrics and it's like, better keep grinding every day, every single which way to see them, well, yeah, pearly gates. And if you're going to be some to somebody, make sure there's no way you could be replaced. You ain't really living life if you get opinions from other people, what you got to chase. You should be proud about the life you live. That is not up for debate. You feel me? So it's like, you got to keep grinding until the day you can't move, until the day you can't breathe, until the day you can't eat. If you're physically able to move and do anything, you know, that the average person could do. Like when I was listening to JID, he said, you have everything that the greats have, which is two eyes, a nose, mouth, hands, your feet, legs, arms, you know? But I'm kind of going off track a little bit, but life can be a nightmare, but in the end, it could turn out beautiful. That's like what I'm really trying to say.
Well, when you mentioned about depression, anxiety, I want to get more into that. As a black person, as a black man, as a black, you know, person in America, do you feel that therapy is supported for black America, black people?
Within the community, I don't really hear a lot of people talking about it, no. The ones that I've hung out with, like, let's say, well, a lot of black people, you know, it's like looked over or, you know, here, hit this blunt to, like, you know, help you out, mellow you out. But really, like, that's a temporary solution, you know? Because it's like, in my opinion, here are the pros to, like, drug usage as far as, like, marijuana and stuff like that. While you're high, for me, like, it gets you in a deeper state of thinking, but, like, you're relying on something that you have to pay for over and over again and take out of your pocket that also damages, like, your body just to think in that temporary state or to feel what you feel, when really, like, there are other ways to express yourself and to alleviate the issues that you have been through, you know, right. Which is one, it is therapy. And you necessarily don't have to have, like, an actual therapist, but you just need that somebody to talk to, you know?
Well, I would say, though, therapy from an actual therapist is recommended because, you know, they're professionals. You know, they get they get paid and they go to years of school to know how to tackle and help you relieve these situations. I will say, from my own experience, Black America now, meaning our peers, our age range, I think we are more open to it. I think we're more, definitely in LA, I think we're more open to it and more, you know, accepting of it. I do believe, though, like what you mentioned about not having a phone and being very restrictive and those reasonings behind those restrictions, maybe if the person was capable of relieving whether there were anxieties or fears, the reasoning behind those reasons, the reasons behind those restrictions, perhaps you wouldn't have lived in such a restrictive household. But at the same time, like you mentioned, being able to live without living with those restrictions and force you to be more street smart, being more street smart, being more awareness.
Yeah.
And so now, as an older figure or older version of yourself, like you said, like those situations we were going through as a kid don't look so bad now. And the fact that you didn't just go through bad experiences, you went through bad experiences and they didn't affect you. They didn't tamper with your overall greatness, your story, your person, your mindset. You was able to
That's the thing. The issues, every single issue that I have faced has dragged me down, like, you know, like, to a very, 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 very low state. Because it's like, from the age of 3 and still till now, like, I was removed from the home with my mother, you know? And that is, from the age of 3, the feeling of depression became attached to me, you know? And I felt that up until, I mean, we still all feel depression and stuff still today. But, like, I felt that up until, like, really? I felt that up until about the age of 9 before, like, exploding on people and stuff like that. When I would, like, feel too much pressure or too obligated to do what you say when I really don't feel comfortable with doing it, you know? But, yeah, like, just learning to deal with the emotions and just letting them flow without holding them in or without, like, relying on any type of substance to alleviate it. Because, A, when you bottle up your emotions, you're going to explode eventually. And how you explode, that depends on the person and it depends on the mindset, the mental health, and, like, the situation that you're in. But with the substance, it's like, that's like, it can only really get you so far, like, in my opinion. But at the same time, I've never really relied on, like, substances to help me with my emotions. Like, I would rather experience the full-fledged emotion and, like, go through it and just process it and just, like, sit in it and just move on to the next day. And I still would feel it and it still would be in my head, but that's where therapy came in, because I have had therapy all my life. by professionals. But it's like, the reason why I said it would be cool to have people around you that necessarily aren't therapists that can talk to you, because not everybody can have a professional therapist. I'm not saying that they can't, but some people's situations are different, you know? Some people don't trust it, you know, because I've been in situations with therapists to where I've said the wrong thing, then it was taken completely out of proportion, you know? So it's like trust issues. A lot of people have trust issues with the community that they're in due to the people that have shaped them into thinking the way that they think, you know? So it's like, if I'm in a bad neighborhood, you know, or in a neighborhood where like it's a lot of violence, you know, or the police with like brutality and stuff like that, that can screw with my opinion on society and the people who are supposed to so-called help you, you know, as a protect and serve aspect. If I can't rely on people as far as the police to protect me and stuff like that, when a physical altercation or something like that happens, why in the world would I tell somebody that has just a degree of so-called therapy my serious problems that can so-called fuck up my whole household and flip it upside down if I say the wrong thing, you know? Okay, so yeah, back to the police brutality thing and then the, you know. Okay, so with that, I was talking about how it could be hard for people to trust therapists and stuff like that, or just like people in their community who are so-called supposed to help. Like those who have what is called a broken mentality, they view life a different way from people who see the wonders in it. You know, you have people who just have been shaped to the problems and the issues that they experience and the paranoia that they experience and the mental health that's things that come with that. So it's like, if you've been getting let down all your life, or that's what you see all your life, and then like problem after problem, this is going wrong, that's going wrong, you know, and you really have just been experiencing that, and you're only used to a specific area of the world that's like not sanitary, unsafe, and like poor. And like being poor, it's not just a financial thing, it's like it's a mental thing as well, you know. Like broke is one thing, but poor is like you don't have any money, plus you don't have any ambition or goals to drive you to get things that can support you and the people around you, you know? So it's like it all starts with the mind, bro. Like it's your mindset that will help you with everything that you go through. Like
I like what you're saying. Like the police are paid and trained to protect and serve. And if they're not doing that, and it's not an if, but, you know, they're not doing that, then what makes me think I can trust those with my thoughts and with my feelings, my most deepest thoughts, my most deepest, you know, issues and situations? So I completely agree with that mindset. I completely agree with that perspective. It's like, you really think, you know, I'm gonna pay you to, you know, take involved with my issues and everything? I don't think so.
And not just that. Like, what if there has been people who have thought of like, okay, therapy, but then with the people that they're most closest to, the ones that they've grown up with, the ones that they've lived with, they tell them something and they go telling the whole world about it, you know? Because this happened to me. The people that I live with, it's kind of like a breach of security when like, let's say you tell one family member about something. Like if you tell that one family member, I'm telling you. So if I'm telling you, that's not for you to tell everybody else.
Talk about it.
It's not like if I wanted to tell everybody else, I'll grab this person, that person, that person, put them all in a room and say what I have to say. But it's more than that, bro. Like I don't know what drives people to do that. But at the same time, it's an attention thing. That's what really drives people to do it. When people don't have anything to do or anything to talk about, or they experience something that they feel will get a good reaction out of everyone else, if they tell it, they're going to say it.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's say you're with the homies and you talking to a girl or, you know, and something happened and it's like, bro, I gotta tell you something, buddy. I gotta tell you something. So this happened. You feel me? And it's like, you tell one person, they're like, what? No way. That happened? Nah. You feel me? And then like you show the facts to prove it. It's like, what makes you think if you want to tell somebody else about the situation because it gave you such a positive feeling that the next person doesn't want to tell like the next person about it, you know? Yeah. So it's kind of like a chain reaction. Like it may feel like a chain reaction of positivity when you do it, but like there are deeper consequences than the ones that you think you'll initially have when you do what you do, you know? It's like you'll do something expecting like, oh yeah, I'm telling you about this experience that I had with a girl so I could get your recognition or a positive like reaction out of you, or just to get it off my chest. And I expect, oh yeah, I just told him that. Oh, I just had to tell him because, you know, I had to prove it to my homie. And then it's like, you never know, your homie, you know, he like, oh, what, bro did that? And then it's like, your homie might not have nothing to talk about, and that comes up in his head, and he tell it to the next homie. Then it gets around, you know?
Yeah.
And then it gets around even more. Then it goes back to the girl, and then that fucks up the whole situation that you had going on with her because you decided to take that extra step, and then, you know? And that's not just with romantic relationships, you know? Like I said, it's with family as well, and friends, and acquaintances, and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, it's just, you know, perspective and power in what you say, and you just gotta, I don't know.
Like, I want to get into the artistry now. I want to get into the artistry, not just the music, but the artistry. You know, you performed, I've seen you perform, we performed once, you know, in separate sets, but still at the Wednesday night halftime show. And, you know,
Hey, hold on. Shout out Ramon and DJ Psych. You feel me? You know, we got to shout them out.
Shout out to Ramon, DJ Psych. Thank you for not just hosting us, but, you know, giving me the opportunity. You know, that's my first time performing. I heard a lot of just good reviews from people, you know, reaching back for me online. And then, you know, some of the people dapped me up after, you know, I got off stage. You was giving me good tips and words of confidence, you know, words of advice that I took. And It's such a cool thing. It's like it's a FUBU thing, you know, for us, by us, where when you look at the people, you know, performing and hosting everything, you know, there's no sense of like insecurity or anything like that, or familiarity. Like, these are our people, you know, and we're all up and coming. We're all, like you said, we're the stock. We're all just trying to grow and get higher and crescendo. And I think that's just a beautiful thing, to have a platform for up and coming artists to showcase their talent, to showcase their art, their music, whether you like it or not, or one song hit and the other one didn't hit for you. You know, we all have that platform to just, you know, put it out to the world, put it out to LA, of course, and to each other. And we can critique and get, you know, and give each other words of advice and build each other up. And I think that's really cool. You know, Ramon, he just bought himself a house, and I'm just happy for him. You know, he's such a good guy, and he's, you know, I've seen him twice, and he's always having a good time with his hosting.
You want to know how I met Ramon?
So
there's I used to work at a Christmas tree lot by the Ralphs on Vermont, in like South Central LA, next to like the train station. And so I used to work at a tree lot, you know, and like I walked there one day, asked if they needed help because, you know, I needed money. And with that, I kind of, the idea that I had behind it is like, I'm at a tree lot, I could probably network with people. So why not do it? Because it's like multiple people coming in and out of the place. So with that, I met beautiful soul, nice, genuine person named Felicia. And she was the one who introduced me to Ramon because she's a talent finder, you know? So I was setting up her tree. She asked, you know, she was looking around. I was like, get whatever tree you want. I'll put it on your car, tie it up, and you'll be fine. So as we were doing that, she was talking to me, you know, explaining what she was. And I was like, oh, I make music, you know? And she told me that the type of artist that I kind of reminded her of, like, you know, due to my hairstyle and stuff like that. But yeah, we did that. And then I got her card and I called her. I talked to her. She was busy at the time. And that was around December before Christmas. And then around February, I think I called her again around that time or a little bit further. No, probably like May, around that time I called her again. And, you know, I kind of missed her call, so I called her another time. And then that's when she, out of nowhere, she's like, oh, yeah, I know someone. I know someone that's like really well that'll help you out. And then she put me, her, and Ramon in a group chat. You feel me? And then she was like, she just introduced me to him. And then, like, you know, she threw the ball to Ramon. And then, like, we talked for a minute. I called him, followed up on it, and then he pulled up to my job like after I was at work, and then like he drove me to wherever I needed to go, which was like to the beach for my homie and stuff. He had a graduation party. My homie Rupture. I'm gonna get into that too. I'm really getting into that. But yeah, and then I played him some of my music, and he was like, "Who the fuck am I in the car with right now?" I'm like, "You feel me?" So it was very genuine from the beginning. You feel me? Like, Ramon is, like, real cool, real chill, and, like, he's a helping spirit, you know? And I'm just grateful that I've been put in the situation to express myself with the music with those who actually appreciate it for what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, when it comes to music, it's more than finances, you know? It's a God-given talent that you can use to literally change the world. Music is persuasion. So, like, when I hear artists, you know, talking about the norm or, like, what's popular inside of the rap community, which we do know, which is living the fast life, drugs, cars, money, women, and killing, and, you know, stuff like that. Like, it's way more to talk about, bro. It's, like, it's so many emotions that us as humans experience and, like, so many situations that we all go through that we all can relate to. Why isn't anybody really saying and talking about what everybody can relate to? There are people that do it, you know. You have the Kendricks, you have the Coles, you have the Bozzes, you have more Logic. You know, yeah, you have the Logics, you know, you have the Joiners. But what's really being pushed in the mainstream, I don't even listen to mainstream music, bro. Like, when a lot of, you know, artists drop and stuff, like, I'll listen to it, but, like, it's only for the, you know, oh, okay. But lately I haven't really been feeling it, you know. But at the same time, I do feel it. Like, artists that I really like personally, that really catch my eye and the attention that I get is, like, with it's the melodies, bro. Like, the different melodies and stuff that artists give off with their music, and also what they are talking about. But, like, me myself, like, I started doing the mainstream rapping, like, when I was, like, 11. I used to talk about, like, you know, the killing, the getting the women, stuff.
This meeting is being recorded.
It got old fast. I'm like, dude, like, you know, it really, really got old fast. I wasn't even rapping for a year before it got old, like, I would make a song about every Friday for about 6 months. No, probably more than that, like 7 or 8 months. Yeah. And that's the thing. I was able to first start recording music through my therapy services, you know, and that was Starview Community Services. They had a place called the Tejas Spot, but it closed because of COVID, you know. And even though it closed because of COVID, I still kept trying to improve the craft. But I'll get to that. So at around 11, started writing music, you know, and what really fueled the music was heartbreak. You know, I got my heart broken by the one who I thought was for me, you know, and it just didn't work out. And I wrote and did that thing. But then at around the age of 15, I was in high school and I'm just like, you know, getting influenced by those that I see that are around me, you know, following the crowd with the music, and listening to hood LA rappers. And that was because of the people that I surrounded myself with, the mentalities that they carried and the music that they liked. And it kind of got old because like I had to go through like a mental health breakdown. Like mentally, I was okay. Like I was aware of things that were going on. I wasn't just like stuck all day. But at the same time, like smoking a lot of weed, it kind of like took away my rationality that I had within myself and society and stuff like that that was going on. And yeah, I kind of mentally broke down, but I regained my sanity thanks to going to getting help, like with certain facilities and stuff like that. And that's when the perspective of my whole life situation and the friends that I had around me all changed. That's when the music started to take a curve, you know? And I was really kind of angry with the music because like I was like hurt about like, you know, the homies that I was with and how like, I kind of realized like you niggas is not here for me, bro. Like for my mental health and my well-being, you know, it's like
that.
You're detrimental to the goals that I have.
If you're not pushing me forward, or if you're not helping me push me, if you're not helping me put forward, you're either trying to keep me still or keep me back, and there's no room for neither of that.
Yeah, it's like I slowly saw the people that I really wanted to make music with. I didn't even make a lot of music with them because like I would smoke so much weed, bro, that it would like I couldn't even like formulate a bar. And it's like when I was sober, I was able to formulate so many. But like I that's where the drug abuse comes in. Like if you're gonna get high, which I don't recommend when dealing with problems or just when being young, like just do it when it's legal, because I feel like they have it at that age because that's when you've experienced enough to know like, okay, I need to limit myself with certain situations. But when you're young and you're first experiencing adulthood and the world, like you're not gonna give a damn about the limitations because it's like, okay, this is cool. I like this. I'm gonna do it again, and again until it messes you up, you know? So it's like, if you know that you're feeling a limit or you know you're reaching your limit when it comes to the weed smoking, the drinking or anything, limit yourself. Don't just do that shit until you fucking black out or until you're fucked up, you know? Because that's what I used to do on a daily basis before I mentally broke down. Like, I would smoke so much, and it's like, I would use woods and stuff like that to smoke with, so that made it even worse. Like, I would smoke so much to where I would literally feel nauseous and sick. And it's like, oh, fuck. I feel like I got a fever. I feel like I got to throw up. And I feel like I got to use the restroom at the same time. And that kind of caused, it had effects on my mind. And that's where I realized the people that I was with weren't good for me, because the whole motto when it came to the people that I was hanging with, it was to smoke. Like that was what it was. But eventually, you know, I learned and I matured. And then that's when I met the first person that I ever made music with. He goes by Jay Hearts. You feel me? He was the first person I really, like, built that solid connection to music with. Like, it's weird because the first time I met him, he was in the recording studio, you know, and he was recording this song called On Bros. Or he didn't even name it yet. He didn't even name it. He was just rapping. I walked in, I'm listening, I'm like, let me hop on that. And he didn't even know who I was or anything like that. And then, like, he just took a chance and just let me hop on a track. And, bro, like, the minute I hopped on it, I just freestyled to the end of the beat. And he was like, bro. And then it's like, we built the connection. Like, that was the first brother in music that I ever had, you know? And yeah, he eventually, like, the way he was with his music and the way that I was with my music, it was different, but we came together. We made fire together, you know? And I inspired him in some ways, and he inspired me in some ways. And the ways that he inspired me was with the singing and the melodies. Because it's like, I was used to using, like, the aggressive tone, the, you know, regular, like, macho man or, you know, type of tone with the rapping. But then that's when I started to experience, like, I can really do a lot more. You know, because it's like, it was hard as shit at first to like start singing, bro. I'm not even going to lie, dude. Like, I like couldn't do it to the point to where I didn't know my vocal range. Learn your vocal range. Learn how high you can go and learn how low you can go. Once you find that out, you don't even have to read music to know. You know, it's like literally like you listening to different songs and literally trying to sound exactly the same and see where they change up and try and change up with that yourself. And so, with that, what's up?
Oh, no, keep going. Keep going.
You... Okay, okay. So with that, like, I'm just like, you know, I listened to a lot of X and stuff like that. And by that time, X, he did die, you know? And besides Michael Jackson, like, when Michael Jackson died, I was a kid. But my sister told me, like, a couple of weeks ago that I actually was on the phone with her. And I actually was very hurt and upset and crying about it, you know? And that's where the beauty and the importance of music is. Like, I was 2009.
June 25th.
Yeah, like I was around, I guess, six. Yeah, six. And I was that young, bro. And it's like, dude, like I was born in 03. Yeah. But I was like, dude, like if I'm that young and I'm experiencing those type of emotions due to the type of music that this person made, I will be damned if I like settle for less when it comes to the music and follow the trends and just be another person who digs themselves into a hole because of what they rap about and how they rap about, you know?
Yeah.
Because when it comes to the music that you make, it's not only manifestation, but at the same time, it's like it's influence. Like, what are you influencing and what are you doing for our future generation? Are you just in it to make money and talk about the negative lifestyle that you live? And then once you see that what you're doing is fucking up the community around you, you want to backtrack. And it's like, man, I don't even do all of that. I just rap about it because I thought it was cool. You know, like, no, bro, like, you've seen yourself in that crowd having thousands of people like rap over like what you're doing and like what you're saying. Like, music is literally hypnotizing people, bruh. Like, with the music you can make, you can literally influence anything. The power of the tongue is amazing. But back to what I was saying with the singing, I was really, really bad at it. And it got to the point to where like I would get so frustrated. Like, I would like with Jay Harsh, like I would try to sound good on the song with him as far as like the vocals that he made and the vocals that I made, but it was literally like trying. Okay, so I was in a room, like it's a room with levels, you know, and then there's a floor above us. Like, he naturally is up there with the melodies and he's able to slide through a little easier, and it's like I'm there. My hand is through, or like my finger is through, but I really got to slide every part of my body through it. And it's like, it was a struggle trying to break out of the shell of the norm, because the hardest thing that an artist can experience when going into a different way or a different genre in their music or a different form of it, it's like feeling comfortable with it. If you're not comfortable with the way that you're making your music and you don't feel good, you're not going to do as good as you would with telling yourself, okay, I'm going into an uncomfortable state right now. I've never really done this, but we're going to try it and we're going to see where it goes. And that's what I did. But I didn't really talk to myself and give myself those positive affirmations. Those came once I kind of broke through the shell and like really like, oh shit, I can do this shit, you know? Like, the people that really helped with my music, as far as the melodic side, X, who else? You have Juice. I didn't really listen to Juice until after he died, though. That's the thing. Like, I don't know what it was. Oh, I know what it was. I didn't have a phone, bro. I didn't have a phone until after I left high school. I'm so serious. I'm in college now. It's like, yeah, like, I really didn't have my own phone and my own way to listen to music until then. So, like, I kind of got into him a little later. And, like, I listened to his Goodbye Good Riddance, the 999 EP, and Death Race for Love. I really enjoyed those. But something that really, really made me a fan was the Legends Never Die album, bro. Like, as far as Conversations, Bad Energy, and Blood on My Jeans. Like, it's like those were crazy melodies, and the crazy part about it was they were all freestyles. It's like you're able, like when you're able to flow that smoothly and do stuff like that, I can do that, you know, but I would say personally, I have a lot to work on before I am satisfied with myself. Like something my uncle told me is like, you're going to keep growing until the day you die, you know? And if I got it, I'm going to use it. Cause if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. You guys know what I'm saying? So it's a continuous effort on listening to music and stuff like that. And doing my thing, like something I really do like with music personally, like with a lot of the Juice WRLD music, like he would finish his song and end the hook, but the beat would still be playing for a cool minute and then it would end. And that's where I get my practice in when it comes to artists and stuff like that. I will listen to their music, and as the beat fades away, I will come up with my own version or my own melodies on how I would do the song and stuff like that. So it's just a lot of practice, and it's a lot of ways of how you can get better with the music. It's your experiences that you go through with the relationships around you, as far as your parents, your friends, the people of authority that you have to be around every day. And then it's you willing to be vulnerable, you willing to express the things that are uncomfortable, because if it's uncomfortable to you, it's uncomfortable to everybody else. And when it's uncomfortable to everybody else, they don't want to express that. Some people really don't have it in them to show that side of them because they are so afraid of the stigma that society brings upon us as humans, you know? And that's what it is, my G. But like at the same time, this is really how you have to view life. Like you, everybody watching, you are the main character to your story. You have grown up in your body. You know how you feel. You know what you go through. You know everything about yourself. And the best thing I could tell you is to not run from your problems and the issues that you want to face. Because it'll be there, but it'll just be in the back of your head. And then you'll wake up every day with the thought of it in the back of your head. Like, oh, another day, you know? So it's like, why not face your problems? Why not face your issues in a productive way that's not damaging to your physical, mental, or emotional health or the relationships around you? Like, you can turn the negative into positive. Like, it's possible. It's so possible. Like, it's no...
You have to believe, you know? You gotta have...
Like, think about how long the world has existed. You guys know what I'm saying? And what it was then and what it is now. Now, in some ways, it has changed for the worse. And in some ways, it could be better, you know? But at the same time, like, bruh, like, you don't think there's people that have experienced the emotions that you're going through and haven't, like, you know, found solutions to what it is and like how to get it better? They have. Look at the world we live in, as far as the technology, as far as the structure, the architecture, as far as the rules that govern the society that we're in. Some rules are just completely fucked up and it's like weird and it's like, what the fuck, like, why are you doing that? It's better ways to do what you're doing. But some people just don't have the answers on how they're going to get it better and do what's what due to how society was originally set up. Like if it's set up a certain way and you're trying to change it, you'll have to go to the root of the problem. And in order to change that root of the problem, you're going to need a following to do it. And you're going to need to know the right people, the right this, the right that. But it all comes from within, you know, like a lot of people are stuck in their ways and a lot of people have the opinions that they have, like, and that's their life and they're just going to live that way and they're going to stay that way. But it's literally like what you're going to do about it and how you're going to plan it. And just like, you know, you just gotta keep grinding.
I got you. You said one word, you said better, and with better, there's also BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online therapy service for people to, like we just said, you know, gain therapy. You can use it to text or call, or it can be like what we're doing, you know, FaceTiming on Zoom to reach out to therapy or to a therapist. You can choose your own therapist. It's all online. It's all convenient.
Is it BetterHelp.com?
BetterHelp.com. I highly suggest it. I recommend it definitely for those who, you know, with COVID and monkeypox, it can be very, you know, anxiety driven to go outside and to go, you know, face the world in this confusing time. Now, I do have to say this, though, and I love saying it. Sponsor time. Shout out to C4 for officially, unofficially sponsoring this segment of Delicula Podcast Interview 14. This is Smart and Focus, Smart Energy, Freedom Ice. I highly recommend this flavor. It's a new flavor, and I love it. Do you see that? Smart Energy, C4, Freedom Ice at the top. It's a good flavor. I have a lot of favorite flavors. Speaking of favorite flavors, Starbursts, the Cherry Starburst, the Strawberry Starburst, I think. Yep. Jeez. And the Skittles. I love the Skittles ones. Really, I put them in the freezer before I use them. Now, I do want to have one thing to say about Ramon. You know, I haven't shown him a lot of my music. He's seen some of my music, but like with the relationship between me and Ramon is more of like businessman to businessman versus like anything else, because I'm building, like I'm in the process of building not just like a music career, a music portfolio, but a brand. You get what right. I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, the sooner you start working on your identity, like, the better. And right. I'm blessed to be in a position where, like, I have merchandise. I have my brand, my logo in my hands. And it came to fruition, and it's just the start of something special. I highly recommend right. that. No, don't just, if you're going to really take music seriously, you have to find yourself. You got to find your identity. You got to find your sound. You got to find your logo. You got to make a logo. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. You know what I mean? And I just have a couple questions in regards to you. Like, when did the term, or not term, but when did the name Havoc come to you? How did you go about, like, lettering it? And do you have any merch on the way? Do you have any merchandise, anything like that we can get our hands on the way?
Jeez. Okay. How did the name Havoc come? Okay, so originally I went by Dwayne. You feel me? Just my regular name. Like, it's Dwayne on the rig. You feel me? That's what I would usually say when I would go in. But, like, that's where I really had, like, an anxiety about being judged by those people who would see the old recordings of me using other artists' lyrics to promote myself. You catch what I'm saying? Like, I would really do that. Like, and I did it for years in middle school. Like, a lot of people didn't really know, but some people did know. And that's what it was. But, like, now, bro, I don't rely on that whatsoever. So I kind of went through a whole bunch of anxiety with it. I didn't, like, originally, I wanted to come up with a new artist name. And it's like, I wanted to always wear a mask, you know, just to hide my face and stuff like that. Cause, like, I was ashamed of doing what I was doing or what I did. And I talked to two of my homies about it. I believe I came up with it with my homie Rupture first. Like, Rupture, I don't know if he wants me to say his name, so I'm not gonna say it. But, like, Rupture, me and him, we go way back. To about 2018, I met him at the last high school that I went to, which was Hawthorne Academy, and we built a friendship from there. We kind of built each other up with the rapping and the music. Like, where he's at now, it's like, I'm just so proud of bro, because, like, he really came from, like, something that was very mediocre to where every time we get in the booth, like, the energy that he carries, like, it, like, gives me energy, and it's like, it surprises me, you know? Like, he's really turning the negative that he feels into energy for music, you know? Like, instead of, like, being that type of dude who would just get influenced by the people on the block, like, I try to guide him in some ways, even though I'm older, but he guides me as well. Like, believe it or not, with the song that I have out called Tempting You, link in bio on my Insta. But, like, with that, he, I was gonna change up the toning and how I was speaking with the song, you know, and you really wouldn't have taken it seriously if you would have heard it. And then like I sat down, the song was playing, I'm like, oh, this shit hard. And then he was like, bro, he whispered in my ear, he was like, bro, you need to change it. Like, I like the original voice that you had with it. So it's like his opinions and everything that he goes about and everything that he is about, I completely trust him with it, you know? Like, I talked to him about it, and he's one of the reasons, like, me and him conversating is the reason why Havoc came to be what it is, you know? Like, as far as the how I spell it and stuff like that, because I saw how Havoc was spelled, and I really didn't like it, because it's like H-A-V-O-C, like Havoc, like, it's like, that sounds like Havoc, you know, it don't sound like Havoc, so it's like, I want to, like, you know, H-A-V-I-K, I wanted to do that originally, and then that's when me and him, like, would hang out after I graduated from school, then I would slide through to his house and stuff, and we would, like, kick it, and it's like, he came up with using the X's and stuff like that in our names, and, like, different symbols and stuff like
that. Meeting is being recorded.
Originally, he went by a few other names. And when you interview him, because I'm pretty sure you will want to, he's an amazing dude, he'll let you know. But he'll let you know the original names. I'll let him do that. But yeah, like we came up, he went through a couple of names, I went through a couple of names, you know? So. Oh, my first rap name ever. Guess what I was gonna have it be? Picasso, bro. That was the original name that I was gonna go by. Oh my God. But then I just kept that as Dwayne, and then from there I did what I did with Havoc, and yeah, that's how it came to be. I talked to Rapture about it and my homie Jay Hearts, like when we all be in constant communication and stuff like that. And yeah, that's what it was. We brainstormed with the homie about it. Then I was like, fuck it, we finna do it. And I was getting interviewed by a guy who he was my Uber driver. And then he was like, you know, there's already a Havoc out there. And you know what's Havoc I'm talking about, right, my boy?
Havoc that's about to implode if I don't know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Hold on. Give me a second.
Also keep in mind, the merch, you know, if you have any merch out or business cards or anything like that, if you got any new type of stuff happening, 1 minute warning, by the way.
Yeah, I don't have any merch right now. I'm gonna get it out the way, let you guys know that. But yeah, I don't have any merch. I'm working on that. I'm getting a lot of stuff that I need to get in order, but something that is coming is with me and Rupture, and that is the Ratchet Knife EP. We both produced the beats for it.
That's cool.
So yeah, we have that coming out, and yeah, it's like, it's just us introducing ourselves as artists into the rap game, you know.
Yeah,
you may have seen on my Insta us like filming for the video that we have. That's called TTFU, and I'm pretty sure you know what that stands for. And with that, I'm trying to drop the video on Halloween, because that's the type of vibe it gives. And I'm trying to drop, if God let it be, trying to drop the Ratchet Knife with Rupture after the, it's really not my decision only, because like we're both doing it, so we have to be in communication about it. But I really would like to drop both of those things on Halloween.
That's my decision. I already made my solo album, but we're already making me and my best friend, one of my best friends. He does music. He's phenomenal. And I just hit him with this idea of like, yo, let's do something like What a Time to Be Alive, you know? And I just need your vocals. I need you all over this and on this. And
that's the thing. Like with the Ratchet Knife EP, I'd say about you, it's going to be a lot in the EP as far as the genres, but probably about three genres, but the main genre is like, you know, some like hard, heavy trap metal, like, you know, some you know, some that really like turn you up and have your head bumping like with the music. And it's like,
okay,
if you slide through this Wednesday to whoever is watching YouTube, my boy, we're gonna perform three of the songs that are gonna be on there. So, you know, you gotta be there to see it. But yeah. And after that, with on my solo project, is gonna be called the Versatility EP. And with that, I'm going to show off my versatility as far as like being a lyricist. Like, I can spit fast with different flows and talk about bars that are really intrigue you and have you thinking. Then I have the conscious rap aspect. I can do that. And then that's when the melodic comes in, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, and like there are deeper forms of the melodic. You can talk about the love that you have for those around you, the relationship that you're in with a specific girl, or the potential that you fall in love with it, that like can be detrimental to how you feel about a lot of stuff, like within yourself, as far as your confidence and stuff like that. Like, it's just so much, bro. Like, it's really going to be called the Versatility EP because the project itself is going to be so versatile. I'm trying to get it to the point to where they can't name a specific genre of the EP.
Well,
to where I can't.
With
but the ultimately
music
being
made,
mm-hmm.
with the music being made, do you? Like, when you see the, like, the outcome, like, okay, I just dropped this record, I just dropped this song, I dropped this project, I got X mm-hmm. amount of plays, X amount of listens, like, are you satisfied? Do you see, like, you have a specific
that's the
benchmark?
Thing. I'm not really satisfied with the amount of plays that I get, as long as people are listening, you know? Because I don't know what my music could have done for the specific people that are listening. And, you know, eventually I know it all will pay off, bro. Because when I say I put in hard work for music, bro, and like that's really besides like transportation to where places I need to go and stuff, that's really where I spent the most of my money that I make on, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like really what I'm invested into. Like, I'm invested into music more than I am romance with females and stuff. I'm invested into music more than I am with anything. If I'm not at work or if I'm not at school, and if I can do it, I'm going to make music. Like, if I could be in the studio 24 hours a day just to make music, I would do that all day. Like, with music, I really can't live without it, bro. It like really helps with every emotion that I feel, like, and it's not even the people, like, I don't just make music for other people. I make it for myself as well. Like, when I'm trapped inside of the thoughts that I have, and a lot of the stuff that I say in my music is literally a message to myself. And if it's not a message to myself, like, huh. As far as my song Tempting You, can I tell you what that means? Like, what was that about?
Yes, sir.
All right. So as far as Tempting You, like that, it around my birthday, I got into it with a girl that my homie was dating, and I originally liked, but I was like, dude, do your thing, bro. I don't care. She's not interested in me. You feel me? And we hung out, like, all of us and stuff, and it's, like, when I would try to talk to other females or, like, even, like, when I'm chilling and doing my own thing, like, that's where I would get disrespected. And, like, the last time it happened, which was, like, the day before the day before a big event that I was going to have, like, it really, like, altered my aspect of, like, a lot of stuff that whole night. And I was, like, really, really, really upset about it. And then that's when I talked to my family about it, and they were, like, you know, it might be a form of attraction, and like getting you upset is probably the only way that person can, you know, get the reaction that they're looking for or the attention that they're looking for out of you, you know? And that's where the thought of tempting you came in. You catch what I'm saying? It's like, how did it go? How did it go? All right. Let me think. Just do not get it confused. You do me wrong dismissing you. I'm not a dead grassland, a BS I don't get into. Since I dated somebody a couple years, it's been a few. So don't think if I'm without you that I'm really finna lose. Should've given me a chance when I showed that I was into you. Between me and my homies, you will not get into. This is what you in my head, keep it residual. I don't wanna do anything that really is just tempting you. You feel me? So it's like I see like where like we had a little something, then it like went away. Like even in the song in the beginning, like get it back, baby. I ain't really feeling that spark we had in the past. It turned a flame, then the ass. You know, so it's like it's weird. Like stuff will happen inside of your life, and you'll like take it one way when you really should be taking it the other way. But like, I don't know, that like that song was literally me like expressing that thought and like being able to play it over and over and over and get joy from it, you know, like, oh wow, like, you know, I really said that. And it's like, I don't know, it's like, it's my music is a nostalgia for me, because when I make it, I basically it like refreshes the memory that I had from when I wrote about it, you know, whether it's a sad song, a happy song, or an aggressive song, or a turned up song. Like, that's what music is. It's like, for me. And I listen to my music now more than I do anybody's. Like, when I like have my earphones in, like with my music, I listen to it more than 50 times a day. It's about like around 200 times a day, just like between a specific set of songs that I create. Because I have like, okay, I released Leap of Faith, Keep Grinding, and Tempting You and Well-Being. Those are on Spotify, Apple Music, and SoundCloud and YouTube. But on SoundCloud, bro, like I don't even, that's like, I use the app to like post my music on there, but I keep it private, so that way I could play it over and over and over again without releasing it too early or like when I want to, you know. So bro, I have so many songs, bro, and like I think the next song that I'm gonna release is Needed. I think I'm really gonna release that one, and with that one it was a freestyle. I freestyled the whole thing, and then I didn't want to be in the booth too long. So like, I kind of just like, or I didn't want to be stuck on that song too long. I wanted to move on to the next one. And it's like, yeah, man, I'll finish it, come back later and do it. So I did what I did about a week past, and I came back and did the background vocals for it. Bro, when I said I harmonized perfectly, like the harmonies on that song, bro, it's like, I don't even know how I did it, bro. Cause it's like, I tried to replicate that same aspect in my latest melodic song that I recorded, which was at Red Room Studios. And that was You and I, that's what I'm gonna call it. But in the song, like as far as like me rapping to it melodically, that's cool. But like, I need to like really learn how to like time the highest pitch of vocalization I could reach with like the lowest, the medium, and then the high, and then the very high, you know, because it's like in certain spots it doesn't really need to be there. Then like I would say though, towards the end of You and I, like that's my favorite part of the song, because everything, like it's like it builds up, then everything goes and explodes, you know, at the end. Then like the notes are held perfectly until like it fades away. And you know, I don't know, man, like music is, it's my new therapy. I would say having a therapist does help, but like when you're an artist and you can make music, don't underestimate yourself. That's all I would say. And when I say don't underestimate yourself, I don't mean don't underestimate yourself and like be cocky about the music that you make and say like, oh yeah, I'm better than you, don't want to listen to you, I'm not open to any of your ideas. When it comes to music, you're gonna need more than just your own ears to like, you know, perfect a song or make a song sound a certain way. That's where like building relationships and who you know, where it comes in and stuff like that. Because like I said, Rupture helped me with the Tempting You song, and I've had people help me with pretty much every song that I've done. And that's how it comes out the way that it is. So it's really like, I don't know, man, music is beautiful. Like,
I think that's a perfect, you know, to end off on is music is beautiful. And
yeah,
it's simple and it's true. And I think that's what makes it that so great, is that music is beautiful. Music is therapy. Music is love. Always, music is amazing. And I love seeing how uplifting it can make people feel, and uplifting it can make people, you know, want to be, you know, just want to be better, want to be bigger, want to be, you know, stronger. And it can heal, it can do anything you allow it to be, you know. It can motivate, it can inspire, and it can keep you mm-hmm. going, you know. So
I just, and one more thing I would say,
what is that?
It can do all of those things as far as heal, inspire, and do all of that, but you also want to watch what type of music that you listen to. You have to ask yourself, is this good for me? You know, is it good for the people around me? Because if you have something playing in your head over and over and over and over and over again, you're eventually going to start to think that way, and you're going to eventually start to feel that way. So, like, it's cool to listen to it, I guess. But like for me, I don't really like to listen to the fast life type of music anymore, because it doesn't really feed my mind and my soul. So like for everybody who wants to be an artist out there, like just be true to yourself, your thoughts and the situations that you go through and the people around you. And it'll all benefit you in the goal that you're trying to reach. And just don't stop, keep going, and don't give up.
There you go. I just want to say thank you for sharing your time with me. Thank you for, you know, coming on and having a good conversation. I think we've learned a lot about Havoc, and we can't wait to listen to more of your music. We can't wait till we can see you. Where can people see you this Wednesday?
Okay. Hold on. Let me see. Let me put the exact address on here. It's
Don't worry about. I'll put the address on it.
Okay. 402 Studios in downtown LA this Wednesday. That would be, what's today, Sunday? The 28th of September at 9:00 p.m. I will be there. And it is $10 at the $10 on the link posted in my bio. And then it is $15 at the door. Come if you want to be enlightened by the beauty of music.
DJ Psych will be there doing his thing.
Yes.
Mr. Ramon would be there doing his thing. And
so and also, I was going to keep it as a surprise, but my boy Rupture is going to be there performing with me. So
awesome.
Yeah. Yes, sir. All right, man. Nice talking to you, dog.
Nice talking to you as well. Enjoy your meal. Yeah.
Just eating some fries, but yeah, man. Peace.
Peace.
Have a good-